right. Well, as we get started this morning, I'd like to share with you a quote from a book by Carol Mann entitled The 19th Hole. And in this book, she tells a story about golf immortal Arnold Palmer. In his own words, Palmer shared the following. He said, "It was the final hole of the 1961 Masters tournament, and I had a one-stroke lead and had just hit a very satisfying tee shot. I felt I was in pretty good shape. As I approached my ball, I saw an old friend standing at the edge of the gallery. He motioned me over, stuck out his hand, and said, 'Congratulations.' I took his hand and shook it. But as soon as I did, I knew I had lost my focus. On my next two shots, I hit the ball into a sand trap, then put it over the edge of the green. I missed a putt and lost the Masters." You don't forget a mistake like that, says Palmer. You just learn from it and become determined that you will never do that again. The moral of the story from the late Arnold Palmer: it's important to always stay focused. Now, another story. The story is told of two elderly women who were out driving a large Lincoln Town Car, but could barely see over the dashboard. As they were cruising along, they came to an intersection. The woman in the passenger seat thought to herself, "I must be losing it, but I could swear we just went through a red light." After a few more minutes, they came to another intersection, and the light was red again, and again they went right on through. This time, the woman in the passenger seat was almost sure that the light had been red, but was very concerned that maybe she was losing her mind. She was getting nervous and decided to be very focused and to pay very close attention to the road and the next intersection to see what was going on. At the next intersection, sure enough, the light was definitely red, and they went right on through it. She turned to the other woman and said, "Mildred, did you know that we just ran through three red lights in a row? You could have killed us." Mildred turned to her and says, "Oh, am I driving?" So, moral of the story. I'm really not sure, but I thought that was a funny story. But let's just say that the moral of the story of that one, too, is it's important to stay focused. But if you think about it, let's admit it, focus is pretty darn important. Focus is important in every aspect of our lives. When people are focused, right, things get done. Where focus is absent, nothing generally happens. Businesses, corporations, everyone needs focus. Churches need focus. Focus is also vital for you and me if we're serious about living a committed life as a Jesus follower, committed to living a Jesus-focused life as a Jesus follower. In the third chapter of Colossians, the Apostle Paul reminds us of three obstacles that can stand in our way of living a Jesus-focused life. If we're not careful, Paul warns in Colossians that these three obstacles can disrupt our lives and prevent us from living a focused life for Christ's sake in the world. So, if you brought a Bible or you can take a hold of one, I invite you to do so and follow along as together we explore three obstacles that can prevent us from living a Jesus-focused life and how we can overcome each of those obstacles. But first, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, here we go. The first obstacle to living a Jesus-focused life is hanging on to the past. Hanging on to the past. Check out Colossians 3, verses 2 and 3. It says this. Paul says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Paul is reminding us that when we make that choice, when we respond to God's call and become a Jesus follower, we need to say so long, we need to say goodbye to our past. In verse 2, Paul reminds us that we need to think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Here Paul is revealing that when we make that decision, when we respond to God's call and make the decision to follow Jesus, we are agreeing to leave behind our old way of life and begin living a whole new way with a totally, completely different focus in life. Before Christ, we lived for ourselves. The three most important people in our life were me, myself, and I. Now, as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we're called to live our lives with three different commitments, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're called to live our lives for Jesus. Bottom line, when we give our life, when we surrender, when we turn our life over to Jesus, we leave the past behind. It's kind of like marriage. When two people marry, they make a vow. Forsaking all others, I pledge myself only to you. As far as dating goes, they take themselves out of circulation. The possibility of pursuing romantic relationships with someone else is now part of the past that they have left behind forever. In the song, Hey Good Lookin', Hank Williams described it this way. He says, I'm going to throw my date book over the fence and buy me one for 5 or 10 cents. I'll keep it till it's covered with age because I'm writing your name down on every page. Now, the way Hank Williams describes being in love is the same way we should approach our relationship with Jesus. All the things we pursued before we met Jesus, our dreams, our desires, our goals, those things are now ancient history. There you see a part of our past. Now we have a new way of thinking, a new way of living, a new focus in our lives. That's why Paul instructs us in verses 5 and 8. He says, so put all evil things out of your life, sexual sinning, doing evil, letting evil thoughts control you, wanting things that are evil and greed. This is really serving a false god. In verse 8, he says, but now also put these things out of your life, anger, bad temper, doing or saying things to hurt others, and using evil words when you talk. Bottom line, Paul is challenging us to live a Jesus-focused life by not hanging on the past, the life we used to live, but to live our life entirely for Jesus. You see, we're being invited to be all in for the great all in all. So it's not about our dreams, it's all about God's dream for our lives. The second obstacle to living a Jesus-focused life is mixing up our priorities. In verse 4, Paul says, Christ is our life. And in verse 1, Paul challenges us again by saying, you have been raised to life with Christ, so set your hearts on the things that are in heaven, where Christ sits on his throne at the right-hand side of God. Now, what's all that mean? What's that all about? Well, simply stated, it means if we're serious about following Jesus, then following him means that he becomes our number one, our top priority. And over the years, I've made this startling discovery. People who keep their priorities in order keep their lives in order. People who have happy marriages are happily married because they have made marriage a priority in their lives. People who are in excellent physical shape are in excellent physical shape because they made that, being healthy, a priority in their lives. People who have a great relationship with their children, with their grandchildren, have it because they made those relationships a priority. If you keep your priorities in order, you can keep your life in order. It's not rocket science. It's all about keeping first things first. Several years ago, when Jimmy Johnson left the University of Miami to coach the Dallas Cowboys, he divorced his wife of 26 years. He said he needed a wife while coaching on the college level for social functions and to show families that he would be looking out for their sons. In pro football, however, he said she was an unnecessary accessory and a distraction to winning. He said winning football was his number one priority, and his wife, his sons, were second. Now, how tragic. Now, consider this. Check this out. In contrast to Jimmy Johnson, check out the late Tom Landry. This former coach of the Dallas Cowboys once said, "The thrill of knowing Jesus is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I think God has put me in a very special place, and he expects me to use it to his glory in everything I do." He then said, "Whether coaching football or talking to the press, I'm always a Christian. I'm always a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus is always first, family second, and football third." Now, bottom line, people who keep their priorities in order keep their lives in order. And because of that, Paul is challenging us to live a Jesus-focused life by never mixing up our priorities. Never, never, never let anything usurp Jesus' place on the throne of our life. The last obstacle to living a Jesus-focused life is never underestimating the destructive power of sin. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul offers a list of sins to avoid. And the list begins with some of the biggies, you know, some of the big ones. He begins in verse 5 by saying, "So put all evil things out of your life." And then he continues and says, and makes a list, which includes sexual sinning, doing evil, letting evil thoughts control you, wanting things that are evil, and greed. This is really serving a false god. Most of us would never think of second-guessing Paul's words here. We are aware of the destructive power of lust and sexual immorality. We are convinced that these things are not good, that they're sinful. But Paul's list just doesn't stop there. He goes on to mention a few more. The problem with his second list is that it tends to strike a little closer to home for many of us. In verses 8 and 9, he says, "But now also put these things out of your life. Anger, bad temper, doing or saying things to hurt others, and using evil words when you talk." He caps it off by saying, "Do not lie to each other." Now, Paul's point here is that all sin is destructive, and living a Jesus-focused life requires more than just abandoning the biggies, the big sins. We must also abandon the so-called little sins, like losing our temper or saying something hateful or telling a little white lie. Bottom line, as long as we believe some sins can be overlooked, as long as we believe that there are sins we can commit that are anything less than absolutely destructive, we will never fully achieve God's great destiny for our lives, the destiny of being God's unique masterpiece, whom he uses to change the world one person, one need at a time. So sin is sin. Sin is sin, and it's all destructive. And when we fail to recognize that simple truth, we open the door for disaster. So as we close this morning, I'd like to invite us all to make our pew, our chair, an altar of prayer, And as we pray, remember, God has called us to be followers of Jesus, to be his disciples, to live a Jesus-focused life. And this is the kind of life God desires for each and every one of us. As such, God doesn't want any obstacle. He wants no obstacle to stand in the way of our becoming all he created us to become. God doesn't want anything to hold us back. Therefore, as Paul reminds us, to become that masterpiece whom God uses to do magnificent and wonderful things for others in Jesus' name, we can never let our priorities get all mixed up. We can never let mixed up priorities hold us back. And we can never let sin hold us back. And we must, as Colossians 3 verse 2 directs us, set our minds on things above so that we can experience the joy of a Jesus-focused life, so that we can experience the contentment of a Jesus-focused life, so that we can experience the fulfillment of a Jesus-focused life, knowing that God has set us apart for his high and holy purpose, and we're allowing him to work through us to make a difference in the world around us. So, the question for all of us is this: is Jesus really the center of my life? Is Jesus truly my focus? Is Jesus the centerpiece of my life? Or have we allowed one of life's obstacles to get in the way? Are we really all in for the great all in all? Let us be silent now before God.